And good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome, welcome, welcome. As the home run discussion just ended just now. Well, not just now, but still, it was just before the ad break itself. And then I hope you had your fulfillment in terms of the discussion that, or the points that the discussion indicated or generated out of there for you for that late afternoon. Listening leisure. However, you find yourself here on the Business and Economic Zone for this Monday session, the start of this week, and its session going on for the rest of this coming week, which is not the end of July, because that's only next week's end, technically, but this does culminate into the second half of the month. Now, for tonight's session of the Business and Economic Zone, for last week, we finished off with the CBD trading aspect, the allowance that it gives countries, especially when they are trading, especially in agricultural produce, to actually fulfill their agreements or their bilateral agreements between themselves and the customer country. And that was all good and well for all the noise, you know, that I made in last week's discussion points, as well as also culminating in Friday's session, because we didn't have much in terms of furthering the discussion. Or it was just in terms of bringing you guys on board, the listeners or the callers, to share some of your points, your takeaway points or perspectives with regards to that. Now, one component that I did not finish, even though I featured the United Nations that Center for Trade and Development, a conference for trade and development component, where perspective indicated towards that countries in the developing world will still be dependent upon commodities, as well as also commodity-based trading platforms, because that has to link in to how much of the scenario looks like internationally. So the one thing that is left for developing countries is actually to trade in their commodities, in the commodities or the raw materials that they have. But one facet of our discussion that we did not finish, that we did not complete, and I don't like leaving things, incomplete, especially on discussion points, is the notion of who sets the price, how it gets set, and actually how do commodities get traded. Now, in the news or in the world of business and in business news, you always just hear about commodities, raw materials, manufacturing inputs and outputs and all that kind of, much technical lingo being thrown about. But the nitty-gritties, the basic understanding of what is being said. Now, for sure, there is at least some, consensus in terms of the understanding that for you to have milk in your fridge, it needs to come from the cow, from a dairy cow. And the dairy cow must have been fed and must have been allowed to lactate, meaning to generate milk. That usually comes through either through the process of that the cow might be calving, meaning they might be pregnant with a cow, with a calf, or it's one other factor in terms of inducing this process in the animal itself. But when the milk is produced by the cow, it gets extracted, obviously, meaning it gets pumped, and then it gets processed further, right? Now, commodities are an extremely important part of any financial market. They're extremely important. Let's understand that part. Because that is because they are essential for producers and manufacturers. A commodity is also essentially a basic product or a raw material that is used in all goods and services that we need in our everyday lives. I gave you the example of milk. Although it comes from the agricultural sector is considered, that includes fishing, it is considered as an extractive industry because you're taking something out. But also understand that there's a wide variety of commodities. It's not just about oil or diamonds or gold or copper or fish or carrots or potatoes even. There's a wide variety. So commodities have become part and parcel of the global economic circle. You're now seeing how dangerous it is in Europe, especially because of just gas. Oil has impacted us all around the world, here in Namibia specifically. So you now see how crucial a commodity has become. But the question is, how does all this get decided? How do these impacts trickle down? How do they trickle down? We know that there's a producing country that is now currently facing sanctions by a, if I can call them technically like a collection of other countries who feel they need to take a moral ground in any kind of dispute, that imposed said sanctions, and these said sanctions have eliminated supply of oil and gas out of this picture. So that scenario of how these political maneuvering or maneuverabilities or movements impact commodity prices is crucial to our talk for tonight. Now, commodities are traded on commodity exchanges around the world, such as the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, also the London Metals Exchange that I continuously mentioned throughout the Business and Economic Zone section here during the first part of this year, as well as also the Intercontinental Exchange, the ICE. Now, the LME and the ICE are more known, but the first one that was mentioned, then, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, mercantile, the word mercantile itself has to do with anything that can be traded, because the word mercantile does link into merchant, the other name, merchant. But investing in commodities, and before I actually head into the rest of our discussion, we're quickly going to take a quick ad break and then come back right after this.
Kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukse spika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupopera, tani kuiruka na maoko uko. Tokora sigara, ninkawa kurugana na yowamba. Moktura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma oko uko, ndimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kono morozo ye utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Nditingura ko Facebook, ko VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamenate muyuni walela pay. Lela pay onkaro ompu woma futiro no kwesisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongondi hokate vuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka go paipindi no tanga ndanwa no kutura mbepo esimbo ojo tunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko lela pay. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mbepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pe nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya webapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka goru kozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeko goma baro, no matumaraka goma rukehe, goka wahara utzehidere oshiwana ashikesho monami pia, okuza warapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pei oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pei ko Play Store, nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntawe oshari, eto turamo o mausemba goe. Inda kokanjato koe kimariwa, eto turako oshimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o mausemba goe, hogoro akucha wahara okurungitha ehangano, nenge o vendaini, o Eagle FM, nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindi mpoka pashangwa sen utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe otari turuwa ko Eagle FM, imba, lela pay, nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishe ompito yokutura ko irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaiti.com notai urikwa menderero. opo ukare waguda kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahe tatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahe tatu imwe, ndatu mbari, ketatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pe, yimo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, noko Google Play Store.
Now we come back from our extended break, and the notion just, well, the point that we just left off on before that was that investors, or let me say those participating on these three trading platforms known as the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the London Metals Exchange, and the Intercontinental Exchange, all three of these exchanges is where investors and these traders, these stock traders, invest in commodities in order to provide their investors or the investors with a way to diversify their portfolios. And this is especially, this occurs usually and especially during times of market volatility. Now we've got to understand, guys, that there are some key takeaways to understand here. And in order also to provide the clarity is that since the notion or the discussion points of commodities, remember it's anything agricultural, and fishing, and anything that is a mineral that is extracted. This has become more and more a discussion in the broader Namibian platform, meaning all across the country, from the oil discoveries to the oil searches or exploration taking place in the northeast of the country, as well as also the other, you know, the other commodities that are already here in the country. So it's crucial to understand the operational, the operation below, or that is facilitating in how and why we have something known as a commodity going on about. Even if it's as something as salient as trading beef between Namibia and Ghana, it's important to note this. Now, prices for these commodities are determined by fundamental factors and supply and demand. So fundamental factors and supply and demand on one side, which also changes as economic events also unfold and also trigger waves of buying and selling. That's why you would always hear in some cases, if you decide to watch what's happening, especially on the NASDAQ, Wall Street platforms in the US, where they would sometimes talk about, you know, either the market has seen some increased optimism, meaning some trading has taken place, buying has spiked, or some negative sentiments have been detected, and then you would see a reverse trend taking place, meaning some selling has taken place, meaning a drop in the share price or sales price, all that kind of activity that is always associated to these exchanges or even stock markets. Next on to that is also that the traders generally don't buy and sell physical commodities. They don't. That's one of the key things that we have to understand here. The traders on those platforms don't buy the thing physically. Rather, they only trade in derivatives like futures and in options. And I'll also delve into those for our discussion here. And then the commodities trade in the cash or spot market. And also, and organized exchanges as futures contracts. Now, commodity futures trade on exchanges and are used for speculation and hedging. Now, you heard me mention the word speculation either in last month or a lot earlier, because the speculation component is one of the major things that was actually one of the driving forces behind the rapid oil price increases of 2009 to 2010. If anyone can remember back then, there was major fears around the ceiling or the price ceiling that a barrel per oil would reach. Major fears about that. What happened? Barack Obama indicated to his own whatever, you know, situation there in terms of saying, listen, allow hydraulic fracturing to take place in order for the US to become dependent upon their own oil supply. Because they realized for one other reason, OPEC was giving their consumers, their citizens, a headache. If the boat or the ship, the tanker, is being loaded with oil here, let's for example say in Libya, and the tanker is on the ocean, it's still sailing for its destination, the price has changed between when it departed and when it has to dock at the destination market. The price has changed 5 times between departing and docking. Now, that is one of the aspects in terms of understanding how these platforms also function. Now, working from there, since these commodities, guys, are traded on exchanges, their prices aren't set by a single individual or entity. And that's also key to identify. Because you would usually, when we see something, or when we always get to talk to a salesperson or one other former, representative of an organization that is selling something to you or trying to sell something to you, that's not beside the point if you're trying to, buy a pair of shoes or a belt or a t-shirt, because you don't get to talk to the store manager. You just don't. Now, usually your questions when talking to such a representative is all about, so how did you get to this price? Or what is the motivation for your price? Or what do you determine in order to set your price that you're charging me? Usually your line of questioning in terms of finding out and gather and doing your own information gathering session follows that trend, follows that line, follows that drift. However, here in commodities, there's not one single entity nor individual that does the price setting. In fact, there are many economic factors and different catalysts that are added into this equation. And literally, it is an equation that impact or affect and also move the prices of a commodity each day. So there can be a myriad of scenarios that feeds into what price per barrel for oil, crude oil, is being charged on the international market. It's not just that we can point fingers and say, listen, OPEC, since you guys are the body of oil producing countries, why don't you set a standard price? I suspect they might have a standard price. I suspect they do. Let me indicate that now, categorically here. I suspect they do have a price. But there are other players in their production means also involved. For example, the big oil companies in the world. The big oil companies in the world. So it's crucial to identify each component, meaning each entity that is participating in the extraction of this resource, in the extraction of this commodity. For example, let's say you place since we all get the gist of oil, but let's say you make use of you're a livestock farmer. So you've got the farmer, the guy on the ground, the person on the ground who's the producer. Then you've got the Ministry of Agriculture there. Then you've got one or other livestock or agricultural, non-governmental organization participating there. You've got the veterinary services participating in that scenario. And then also you've got, the auctioneers, most probably. Because we do have auctioneers also participating in livestock trading here locally in the country. I'm not even going to go to the scenario of Namibia trading to Ghana. No, let's first look at that ecosystem of entities and people that are found and identified within, for example, the livestock market. So, if a farmer, a producer, decides to participate at an auction, there are fees and taxes and tariffs to pay there. The veterinary services also have their own charges, most probably, that they also levy or actually leverage onto the farmer. Then you've got the ministry, meaning the government, the overall governmental representation in that same space, that also indicates one or other levy or tariff. If it's either through water usage, like to NAM water, or electricity, meaning which or other electricity distribution entity that you find yourself in, or if it's like the electricity guys, I already mentioned that, or if it's like just normal land tax in between as well. And then you've got other components that you can factor in from there. Now, this is even before the animal actually gets slaughtered. I don't like using that word, but before the animal actually gets slaughtered, you already have this ecosystem that exists. If the animal has to go to an entity, a meat processing entity, which it gets sold to, it might go through one of these. It might, the price might be considered by one of, you know, might factor in some of these entities that I just identified, minus the producer, the farmer, or it could be all of them, or it could be just a mixture or one or two or three of them. But it's crucial to indicate there's always a loading. Now, loadings is a phrase that I'm bringing in from my days of working at a newspaper, because loadings have to do with balancing it what you see happening. Loadings under a newspaper discussion has to do with balancing advertising content over, you know, journalistic content. That's the one understanding for loading. But I'm throwing that out the window because we're not having a newspaper discussion. We're having a loading in terms of adding percentages on a price. There's a base price that the farmer is charging, and everyone who's involved in the step or in the channel of situations is adding their percentage onto the farmer's price. Let's say the farmer's price is 100 Namibian dollars per kilo for beef. So the farmer is selling a one ton, head of
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no Wushive Faguja, Omanjirorongo, Oduratea Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enderapa, if you recall a paparoe, mo education, Ukarolong if you got a Ufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership, na tay monika no tourism, o show hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at shota di monika. Wirere o tau monika ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ile utadere po mbiro da IUM dikulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu ediva, no mompae, utadi monika. Wirero tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano, inda komesho, kufe tokorori rimonjira, toiko mbona kui wainerao, pamwena IUM.
Now coming back from our extended break right there is, it's critical to identify, guys, that you've got the loadings taking place on that, for example, the example of the cattle farmer or the beef producer, where the farmer is going to sell to whoever is going to do meat processing a one-ton animal, a cow or a whatever you want to call it, the animal, potentially can weigh 1,000 kilograms. It can weigh a ton. One other stage. Now, 1,000 kilograms and the farmer is charging, I'm just giving an example, guys, so my tallies and my totals are not true. So the cat, for 1,000 kilograms, the farmer is charging $100 Namibian per kilogram. 100 times 1,000, it's a lot of money. And ultimately, everyone is adding their percentage onto that $100 Namibian per kilogram. So what do you get is sometimes when you walk into a store here or one of your favorite retailers across the country, where you always see that weighted pricing saying either $89 Namibian per kilogram, which translates to the price that you either see on the price tag, or it either weighs or either goes up or it scales up to 100 something Namibian per kg. But that's a very basic understanding or very basic picture I'm drawing there to you. Because sometimes if it's a commodity that has to move internationally, the one I gave you sometimes gets established here in the country. So meaning you, the consumer, you, me, we don't even get to see how the pricing gets, you know, factored in or established, because that's only between the producer and the other people that have to process. However, this notion of the types of commodities that exist, it further breaks it down into further types of pricing that can be factored into. Because just like equity securities, commodity prices are primarily determined by the forces of supply and demand in a market. And here's another example. If the supply of oil increases, the price of one barrel decreases. If the supply of oil increases, the price on the barrel decreases. Meaning if there's too much supply, then there's a flood of the product, and hence it becomes a very common product. But if the supply decreases, or if the demand for oil increases, the price rises. Now, gasoline and natural gas fall into the energy commodities category. So that's an energy component. Then you also get something known as weather. Hey, guys, weather. When I did my, you know, reading up on this discussion, I didn't know that weather could actually also play a role or factor into setting the pricing of commodities. Now, weather plays an extremely significant role also in the price changes for crop-related or agricultural commodities, especially in a short-term period. Because I will note to you a very good example of what happened to India just at the beginning. I think it's March, February, March. The downside was that when this whole Ukraine conflict now started happening and the situation was getting out of hand, India was looking forward to having a bumper harvest from, that's especially from their grain production. Because India has grain and wheat, grain and rice, in terms of what they produce. And understand, guys, they've got pretty small farmers. I'm talking about, let's say, for example, say each farmer has just 1 hectare, and that 1 hectare is what they just till and plow and cultivate every year. 1 hectare is what they use. So that helps you understand in terms of how big or the scale of their production, what it looks like. And that's how they've got so many farmers. Have you ever seen why the Indian farmers had been protesting for the past year now, from last year into this year? And you get to understand what is their average, you know, scale of production that they have to work with, their farmers. And then you see sometimes, so it's not to my understanding of this, the size of land that a farmer can have. It's just to see, you know, putting as much numbers in, and each number has a similar size in land size to make use of, and then you start your production from there. Now, the downside of what happened to India beginning of this year is that they experienced a very bad heat wave. You see, this heat wave that the Europeans are now complaining about, that is, that they're now experiencing, India had that heat wave that impacted the, you know, towards the end or close to the harvesting cycle, the harvesting window that they needed to have. That heat wave impacted them in that scenario in terms of where they actually had a spoiled harvest. You know, it resulted in a spoiled harvest because it was looking promising. And then that heat wave rolled in and then, wow, some bad luck that they experienced. And this is how weather can also play an extremely important role in setting these prices, because the moment you have something like a decrease in production because of weather, and weather is a phenomenon, right? Weather is probably the only science, and it is deemed a science. It's the only science that humanity has not mastered. We cannot predict it. We can only forecast, but you know, potentially forecast, but we cannot accurately predict it. We cannot. And we also cannot generate weather. But that's a totally different discussion. Now, if weather impacts supplies in a certain region, it has a direct impact on the price of that specific commodity, because agricultural produce is a commodity. Commodities that fit into this category includes corn, soybeans, and wheat, cotton, coffee, and rice. Now, these last three commodities, agricultural commodities I mentioned, are known also as soft commodities. Another commodity that is also very actively traded is that of gold. And gold is actually the most actively traded one. Gold and diamonds, most probably, because it is used to produce jewelry, and it is also factored into the production of electronics. Yes, guys, I'm just resuscitating your memory banks just again. Gold, surprise, surprise, is used in something like your mobile phone. In your smartphone, there's gold in it. I'm not saying go break it down, go break it now, but gold is found in most electronic circuitry. From your phone to your TVs to your computers to your, because gold and copper are the two best conductors of electricity. They're the two metals that are best conductors of electricity. So if you understand that there's a mining complex for gold in a country, it's not just that it's all about jewelry, because the biggest jewelry markets are in Asia and in the Middle East. Oh, sorry, it's the same continent. Are in the Far East of Asia and in the Middle East of Asia. For anyone who has been to Dubai, they would tell you about how the shopping malls, they are just about jewelry stores, and all of them just have gold. India and China are two other major markets that love the gold in terms of the gold mineral in for consumer use. But gold has so many other industrial uses as well. And as I just mentioned, gold is also used in the manufacturing process, especially on something like your circuitry or your circuit boards. But since gold is so, you know, widely traded and a commonly traded good, it has also been considered to be a worthwhile and long-term investment. Silver and copper are other examples also of commodities in the metals group. And this is where the metals commodity grouping also takes place in. Livestock is another group of commodities. Now, in my whole discussion up to now, livestock has always been considered as part of the agricultural section. That also includes the fishing. But sometimes you have to split them up. You get the grain or the grain agricultural commodity segment, which we had just a little bit earlier with that India example. And then you get the livestock one. This category only includes live animals, just live animals. But here's another quick thing before we head into our next discussion with regards to this commodity-based trading scenario, or how commodities come about and how they are traded, is that anything that is deemed either an agricultural product or an extracted product, a mineral, a raw material, is traded. Because you also get wood. Wood. Wood is, guys, you do not know how important wood is in the modern day economic scenario. Wood. Wood is one of those raw materials that does not actually get picked up in any kind of raw material based discussion. Wood is used in paper. It's used in cardboard. It's used in packaging. It's used in construction. It's used in, what else is there? It's used in, how can I forget this one component? But wood is used everywhere. Everywhere wood is used. Furniture. Wood is used in, and just something as basic as that green, what do they call it? The two weeks back, the green scenarios in terms of where the charcoal industry comes in and all that components or those components. Wood is so essential till today, 2022. Wood is so essential to an economic scenario. Now, wood also is another raw material, but it's key to note here that it is the categories, the subcategories of commodities is so broad. There's some things that we don't even realize that are a commodity because they are extracted. We don't realize it is one, but then you just see, oh, okay, but the action of extraction exists. And then you realize, oh my goodness, this is a product that is also extracted. It's a raw material. Now, we then get into one important component of our discussion for tonight, being that of the spot and futures pricing. Now, this spot and futures pricing, guys, is how commodities are traded. It's how they are traded. Now, commodities are traded via futures contracts on exchanges. And a futures contract, in terms of just the naming of it, and what it is, a futures contract is a legal agreement to buy or to sell a particular commodity or asset or security at a predetermined price at a specified time in the future. So this is
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $100 Namibian per month, including VAT for prepaid, or $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always
prepare. Now, just coming back from our brief break. Now, these future contracts or futures contract is in most senses or most cases how these commodities get traded. Now, it's all set with its particulars in the future, meaning at this date, at this time, this quantity of this specific raw material or this specific agricultural component is sold at this price. Futures contracts are standardized for quality and quantity, and also to facilitate trading on futures exchanges. The buyer of these contracts or these futures contracts is also taking on obligation to buy and receive this asset when the future contract or the futures contract expires. The seller of this futures contract is taking on the obligation to provide and deliver the asset at the expiration date. So people are already establishing in the scenario, the establishment of these contracts and these agreements are taking place a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months in advance. Now, bringing you back to how these commodities are, traded is that these specific futures contracts on these exchanges obligate the holder to buy or sell a commodity at a predetermined price on a delivery date in the future. Now, not all futures contracts also are the same, meaning there's not one set standard. Well, the standard is there in terms of that it's from the word for a future, because it's a date or time, you know, still to come. But their details also differ depending on the commodity being traded, because the market price of a commodity that is quoted in a specific media is often its market futures price. You guys get it? So if you go to a financial institution, a bank or something like that, I'm not talking go look at the exchange rate, you know, for Namibian dollar to US dollar. No. Go look at what gold, oil, copper, those things, what the current trading is. The price you see there is the price that's in the future. The price you see there is a futures contract price. Now, the futures price is different than the spot price or a cash price, which is the actual price for the commodity at that moment, today, as we're speaking here. For example, if an oil refiner buys 10,000 barrels of oil for $50 per barrel from an oil producer, the $50 per barrel is the spot price. That's what the buyer, the refiner, is buying from the producer. And that's usually this price that we don't see in media. That's now in whatever, whether you're watching your 8 o'clock news, whether you are going to accessing a bank through the website or directly to see what the current commodity pricing ranges are, those are the futures pricing that you're getting, that you're looking at. The spot price, actual price, is the price we don't see. It's the price we're not privy to. It's the price we're not exposed to. It's the price, in most cases, that we don't hear. Now, the futures price, separate from the spot price discussion, can be more or less than the spot price at any given time. Any given time, more or less. Now, many traders also use commodity futures to speculate on future price movements. They generally don't trade the physical commodities themselves. No, because the physical commodity did not come to their office. They did not expect it. They expected it, obviously, but they did not inspect it and then sold it off. No. They just know that there is a shipment of oil heading from Nigeria, and it has to go to a refinery where. So what do? They know that this is the tonnage, meaning this is how much the shipment is all about. So this quantity of the shipment correlates to this amount of money or value that the shipment is all about. And then they start with their futures pricing. Now, they generally, as mentioned, don't trade the physical commodities themselves. That's because the buying of barrels of crude oil or bushels of wheat isn't practical. These investors analyze market activity and chart patterns to speculate on future supply and demand. So they're factoring in, let's say, if one country is buying from another country, let's say, grain, they're looking at, okay, so this is the quantity of grain production that that this country produced. And based on historical data or historical information, the production of bread and pasta and what else is there? And maize meal, porridge, and all those kinds of other grain-based, products that we enjoy and see in our shops. They would then see, okay, what's the supply going to be looking like for all those categories of products if the one country is buying grain from the other country? Then they can see, okay, will there be enough pasta in this specific brand category? Or will there be enough maize meal in this category? Or will there be enough rice in this category? Cooking flour, baking flour. What's that other flour that you guys love as well? Bread flour, fat cake flour, or fat cook flour. In all those categories, there's a grain present. And this is how they would see, okay, this is what the supply on the market to the consumer would look like based upon the quantity of supply coming from the grain producer and what the grain buyer is actually gonna get. So this is a discussion that actually boils down to information. It's an information trade taking place. Now, these investors analyze market activity and, also, and as mentioned, they chart the patterns to speculate on the future supply and demand components. They also subsequently enter long and short futures positions on these market platforms. Depending on which direction the supply and the demand move, the prices. Now, speculators also distinct from hedgers. Now, a hedger, guys, is probably one of the most dangerous people that you can find on a market scenario. If you haven't watched the movie Too Big to Fail, that's based upon the 2008-2009 financial crisis around the world, global financial crisis around the world, which is technically an American and British and French created problem, because it's their banks and their insurance companies that created this catastrophe. You will see what actually happens there. And hedges, a commercial hedger is an organization that uses derivatives such as futures contracts to lock in the price of a specific commodity it uses in running its business. Now, a commodity is a necessary good, as mentioned, required for the production of a good or a service. So a food manufacturer may practice commercial hedging if it purchases commodities such as sugar or wheat and which it needs to produce its products. An electrical component manufacturer may hedge copper, which it uses in its production for its electronics. And these hedges, as mentioned just now, guys, are sometimes the people that are part and parcel of a supply chain. They're part and parcel of a distribution channel. They're part of it. They either supply it or they are either actively participating in the creation of the product and the service. Now, all this, guys, helps you to understand how this commodity, the commodity trading system, works. Now, I'm far away from the CBT discussion we had last week, not just because of the time frame, but also in helping you understand how this, the word commodity, because commodity is sometimes used so loosely in economic discussions, or it's used loosely, but then we don't zoom in and ask, you know, what is a commodity? And how is the price established for said commodity? Because the price is also always never also identified. The price is either identified at the end, for example, the price for a crude oil barrel, or barrel per crude oil. And we just hear there's 50 or there's 150 US dollars. And now you ask the question, so how is it decided? How is it determined? How did you get to this price per barrel? How? Now, in the broadest discussion of economics, commodity prices, or the price of commodities, is quoted in two different ways. As mentioned, you've got that the market or the market futures price, which is the price sometimes reported in news, in media, and also the spot price and the other hand. So the spot price one is what we, as I mentioned, is what we don't see as often. But just to end off our discussion point, these commodities is what sometimes helps you to see the small picture in a big picture. But it's important to note that we don't always see the spot price. We don't always hear about the spot price or the actual price of the commodity on the ground. Now, well, we've only got 3 minutes left still in today's program. The important thing here in terms of still, you know, getting our heads, because there'll be a lot of discussions coming out from not just from the green hydrogen energy component, because that will produce a commodity, but also the oil discoveries, the two oil fields off our southern coast, which is that of Total Energies and the one of Shell. And you also have the other commodities in our country. And the crucial thing is also, how will there be much, will there be much maneuvering in terms of the value that Namibia can gain? Because we opened up and generated and developed a market heading to Ghana, which was crucial. That was part and parcel of my discussions for last week. So that showed one positive, meaning we were sitting with an abundance of a specific commodity in the northern communal areas. Those producers were sitting with, as mentioned, in terms of Meatco's numbers in one of their presentations of in last month, where the NCA farmers were sitting with 2.4 million cattle, a million more than the commercial farmers that are south, to the south of the red line. And the important thing was opening up trading corridors or trading platforms or access markets or absorption markets for this commodity. Now, it's still the same commodity, guys. It still is the same commodity. However, clearly, there has been a difference being made in terms of how to identify each commodity, or the same commodity, but just on which side of the line it falls, the red line. Now, it's also important, guys, that this does translate to just, either good things culminating from the CBT mechanism, this commodity-based trading, approach, and also how it, translates and plays into or fits into the greater African Free Trade Agreement discussion. Because that Africa Free Trade looks noble in its most basic form, but it has a critical component in there in terms of how two African countries or African countries need to start trading more with each other, need to start looking more internal towards each other, and how they need to assist each other in terms of developing market, consumers, wealth, as well as also productivity levels.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry jy besnijding. Om 'n gratis besnijding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, as we are signing off on that key takeaway in terms of where the Africa Free Trade Agreement and its basic message being that countries on the continent have to start assisting each other, looking at each other, and developing each other. This does point towards one of these specific noble ideas. I call it noble and I call it specific, because in most cases, we as the countries on the continent sit with an abundance of the resources, and we always tend to look towards the other continents for the customers, forgetting that the other continents are actually dictating the price towards us. Essentially, if you can strengthen, ties on the continent in terms of saying, listen, Namibia is trading with Angola. Angola is trading with Zambia. Zambia is trading then with DRC. DRC is then trading back to Namibia. You are developing these value chains, these valuable takeaways and investments within each product, and also trading corridor with each country, essentially providing each one to strengthen their own, local or domestic consumption and market scenario. But that's enough of me about here on the Business and Economic Zone. Do stay tuned as the Matriarch is close by in terms of making an entry and providing you with her discussion for tonight's edition here on this first of, this Monday, because it is the first day in the week, but on this Monday, and do stay tuned for the rest of your programming on tonight. Stay tuned, and let's see each other again, same time, same place, tomorrow.
Hello, Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu wama futiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongondi hokatovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no tagandhanwa no kutura mombepo esimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pe nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe giinima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomabaro, na matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithire oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akaunta e oshari eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda ko kanjato ko eki mariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhite. Shampa wa mana oku turamo omaothemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindimpoka pashangwa send utume. Shamba watumo etumaraka joe otari turwa ko Eagle FM, imba, lela pay, nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaiti.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tuzengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pay, imo nena, tai adhika ko App Store, no ko Google Play Store.